New White House helicopter flap. Report that Rostenkowski will hang tough. North Korea not cooperating with nuclear inspectors. Good morning. This is Doug Poling with the CBS World News Roundup. Choppergate is not all over, even though President Clinton did act quickly to fire an aide who took a helicopter on a golf outing. Now it turns out more than one helicopter was used for the expensive excursion. Mark Noller reports.
Despite initial and emphatic White House denials that more than one presidential helicopter was involved, it now turns out there were two. While one chopper from the presidential fleet ferried two White House officials to a Maryland country club on Tuesday for a round of golf, a second helicopter flew alongside to stay in touch with the first. It seems that's standard procedure for the Marine One squadron. As a result, White House Communications Director Mark Guerin now says the costs of operating both helicopters, $2,380 an hour each, will be reimbursed to the government. But a senior White House official says that David Watkins, the assistant to the president who set up the golf outing and was forced to resign, refuses to pay more than a share. 13 senior White House officials, including Chief of Staff Mac McClarty, have said they'll chip in to help President Clinton make good on his pledge that not one red cent of the costs would have to be paid by the taxpayers. Mark Noller, CBS News, Washington.
A White House wedding takes place today. The groom is Tony Rodham, younger brother of First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton. The bride is Nicole Boxer, daughter of Senator Barbara Boxer of California. The last White House wedding was that of Trisha Nixon, who married Edward Cox 23 years ago. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, Illinois Congressman Dan Rostenkowski is going to hang tough. The paper says the veteran Democrat and chairman of the powerful House Ways and Means Committee has rejected a plea bargain and will stand trial on felony charges involving misuse of government funds. The paper says Rostenkowski informed prosecutors of his decision and, barring any last-minute change of heart, will be indicted on Tuesday. North Korea is said to have refused to suspend the refueling of a nuclear reactor so UN inspectors can test spent fuel to make sure the Koreans are not using it for development of a nuclear bomb. This has prompted members of the UN Security Council to call for action. The council may meet over the weekend. Iraq is apparently encouraged by the U.S. decision to renew most favored nation trade status with China. The government newspaper in Baghdad predicts the ruling will lead to Washington reversing its policy of linking human rights to lifting sanctions against Iraq. Heartened by the U.S. decision to renew China's trade status, Kentucky Fried Chicken has announced plans to invest $200 million in China. KFC says China could become its biggest market in 10 years. Dunkin' Donuts has ordered its stores to turn off their surveillance microphones. This after the Attorney General in New Hampshire ruled they violate the state's eavesdropping law. The state says it will check to see if other businesses are listening to their employees and customers. Governors of states along the Mexican border have wrapped up their annual conference in Phoenix. A major issue they talked about, who should pay for services provided to illegal aliens. Doug Ninsel of station KTAR reports.
As the 12th annual Border Governors Conference ended, California Governor Pete Wilson again found himself defending a lawsuit filed by several states against the federal government for the cost of incarcerating illegal aliens. Governor Wilson says the suit involves fairness, not racism.
We are a nation of immigrants and proud of it. Proud of the tradition, but we certainly are not going to suffer in silence the unfairness of having to pay the price of the federal failure, as the president has correctly identified it, to control the border.
Wilson also says access to education and health care are not basic human rights for illegal immigrants. A joint communique signed by the governors from both sides of the border pledges cooperation on trade, transportation, and environmental issues. Doug Ninsel for CBS News, Phoenix.
There are still lots of people from Cuba who will risk everything to get to this country. Miami-based correspondent Dan Revive has been on an aerial mission to spot the would-be refugees.
From the air, they look tired but happy. 12 Cubans aboard a green homemade boat spotted by a Florida-based flight crew on a humanitarian mission.
We are rowing northbound.
This was 15 miles north of Havana.
And it is a good seaworthy vessel for this condition.
The chairman of Freedom Flight International, mostly Americans donating time, fuel, and money to search for Cuban rafters, is Thomas Van Hare, amazed that more than 2,500 have made it to the U.S. this year. The author of a book on the rafters, Marcia Morgado, told CBS News this is an ongoing maritime disaster.
3 out of 4 die at sea. Most Americans don't know what's going on.
Flying between Florida and Cuba, at least four organizations look for Cubans, then guide the Coast Guard to pick them up to begin their new lives in the U.S. Dan Revive, CBS News, above Key West.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn is expressing disappointment on his return to Russia after 20 years in exile. The 75-year-old writer says a pseudo-democracy exists in his homeland, and the Russian people still do not control their own fate. According to the New York Times, IBM is overhauling some of its management to become more aggressive in the development of computer software programs. The Times says Big Blue wants to regain some of the business it has lost to rivals such as Microsoft. Something new to do this holiday weekend on the Mississippi, if you bring money. We get the story from Marjorie Manning of St. Louis station KMOX.
After years of debate, riverboat gambling's finally come to Missouri.
Open the doors and let the games begin.
Ed Ellis of President Riverboat Casinos on the Admiral as it opened for business. The chairman of the company, John Conley, personally greeted the first gamblers.
It's a long time coming, but praise Almighty God, it's really beautiful. The boat is beautiful, the weather is beautiful, and the people here are beautiful, and I think everybody's having a wonderful time, and so am I.
More than 1,000 people work on the Admiral. St. Louis officials are betting that at least two other boats will open soon on the riverfront, but some operators are hesitant to move forward without the go-ahead for slot machines, currently banned by Missouri law. Supporters are circulating a petition to get the money-making games onto the boats. Marjorie Manning for CBS News, St. Louis.
The end of an era in late-night television.
I've seen you!
James Brown appearing on the very last Arsenio, which ended its five-year run last night. The host said goodbye this way.
This has been the greatest 5.5 years any man could ever dream of. God bless. I won't see you in 23 hours, but I will see you again.
That sound courtesy of the Arsenio Hall Show and Paramount Pictures Corporation. Arsenio debuted in 1989, did well for a time, but its ratings have fallen. In Avon, Colorado, they're holding the annual Bob Fest today. Thousands of guys named Bob will gather. What's the purpose? We spoke to a Bob Fest organizer, but his name is Tom Britz.
Bob represents the ultimate okay guy. I mean, it's something that everyone can identify with, and it shows that even in Avon, which is located just down the road a piece from Vail and Beaver Creek, where everything is world-class this and magnificent mountains that Bob the Bridge could represent just being okay, that it's okay to be just okay.
Among the activities of the Bob Fest will be the presentation of the annual Bob Newhart Award. An earthquake measuring 5.3 on the Richter scale has jolted wide areas of western Japan. No immediate reports of damage or casualties, centered about 225 miles west of Tokyo. 10 minutes after the hour.